are listening to the Art of Play podcast. Here we are talking about the research of fun, talking to people who are contagiously playful, and inviting you to find creative ways to stay curious in developing your best human self. Happy Friday, everyone. We have talked at length this month about seeing the potential in your own life, capturing it, chasing it, finding more of it, loving it, all those things. I want to talk a little bit about a hidden gem of potential, one that's not usually used in, motivational talks about potential, and it's likely that you will want to avoid this topic. It's also very likely that you will dismiss it. So these are normal reactions, but I want to encourage you not to turn this off, not walk away, but to engage a little further and see if this is a potential goldmine for you. Today, we are talking about healing. Healing is a secret weapon of growth and potential. As we heal, we bring our own awareness to new pathways of potential learning, living, and loving. It sounds like it's hard, and I can't promise you that it's not, but I can tell you from many personal experiences, it's more than worth it. Just like we can only build muscle by creating small tears in the muscle tissue, just like we can only grow our brains through continuous advanced learning, and just like we only learn how to walk by falling down. This is what healing and potential have to do with each other. So three things today. One, I'm going to pitch you a little bit on your healing and the expansive potential there. Two, I want to give you some very basic tips of where to start. It's not usually something that you stumble into. Like, it's usually you're forced upon it, or you can engage with it before it becomes something that you need to deal with on a larger level. And number three, I'm going to tell you a story. So first, the places we avoid healing in our lives, or even just the little things we avoid addressing, are areas of potential growth, especially areas where we have been hurt by others, or we are holding it against ourselves, which incidentally is hurting ourselves. We are using our instinctive nature rather than our logic to do what we think will protect us. So remember, we've talked a few different times about our brain has hardwiring to keep us safe over all else. That is its priority. And to avoid those poisonous or dangerous or treacherous things in our lives. But our brain does not realize that our safety zones get very cushy in this world that we live in. We're not being chased by tigers. We don't have to sleep in trees. And we don't have opportunities, as well as the avoidance of pain, to influence our experiences. If we avoid pain, we create less resilience to pain. And even if that pain is from good growth, it's too bad that we can't track, you know, how sore little tiny kids' muscles are after they've learned to walk, and they walk and walk and walk and walk and walk. You know, it's no wonder they take four naps a day. But pain is pain to our brain, right? Good pain and bad pain, even though good pain, sometimes we get a reward, you know, you get a reward of good hormones after you've accomplished something good with pain. So after a good workout or after you've learned something really difficult, those sorts of things will give you, you know, the pain that will give you those good hormones. But sometimes, like, the pain of learning something just makes our brains tired. And so our brain sees that as bad pain. Okay. So we outwit our brain by walking ourselves into risk zones that we logically know are not actually risky. Now, doing this on an emotional level means you need to be in an emotionally safe place, because emotions will not release themselves unless they know it's not going to create havoc in our brains. So places, risk zones that we logically know are not actually risky. So we're talking about building stronger relationship foundations or diving into our personality traits that maybe we don't know why we do something quirky, or we don't know why we do something sarcastic in stressful situations. Those sorts of things is what I'm talking about. So I want you to see the places in your life where you need to heal. And I want you to see the potential to make it like a growth plate. Now we're going to change gears here and talk a little bit about growth plates. You may already know this, but I learned this recently. I've had a son have a fracture on his growth plate. And I have another son who is, we are talking about potentially banding one of his growth plates to slow down a faster growing limb than the other limb. So I've had sort of some anatomy lessons about growth plates, and they seem really pertinent in this discussion. So a growth plate is a piece of cartilage that just attaches to the long bones of the body that allow expansion for new bone growth. As you're developing and hitting growth spurts, if your plates aren't injured or inhibited, you grow to a certain point, a certain development point, at which time the growth plate hardens and becomes like the rest of the bone it has been attached to. While it is soft and the bone is growing, the growth plate is weaker than the rest of the bone, which means it's more prone to being injured, right? But because it is a more sensitive spot, it's also one of the first places that doctors will look if a bone is injured, especially near the growth plate areas. There's a protective nature of wanting to ensure that those growth plates can heal properly to ensure proper growth in the future, right? We want to make sure those growth plates have all of the potential growth that they may need in the future. Okay, let's say some of the growth gets stunted because of a severe injury, or, you know, maybe it didn't develop correctly, something out of control. Sometimes that causes long-term pain. Sometimes that requires intervention using surgery. Sometimes there's nothing to be done but make the best of it. So those are sort of real life physical situations that we're going to apply to potential here in just a second. So once the growth plate is hardened in our bodies, that's it. There's no re-softening it. There's no going back and expanding the growth plate area, softening the growth plate back up and trying to get the bone to grow past its time. It's just done. That's where the analogy to potential ends. Because here's where we're going to make our switch to potential. Our potential is like a growth plate that never hardens, or at the very least is like a growth plate that could re-soften with some work and release that potential for growth. So places that we like to harden or protect or stop growing, we shy away from moving them or thinking about, are places where we harbor fear or past hurt, which can also look like shame and emotional trauma or trauma from childhood. All of those things we kind of harden up and protect. Like a growth plate, eventually those places within us where fear and hurt are, we harden and absorb and kind of just accept for what it is. At this point in my life, I'd like to think that I'm just the way I'm going to be. But then again, I also think about how I want to grow and continue in my potential. So then I begrudgingly sometimes still push for that growth. Anyway, moving on. We sometimes forget that those hard places and those places we protect, we forget that they were formed from hurt and pain. We just accept them for what they are. Some of those things in my life, I'm going to use some personal examples because I feel like this is my podcast, that's what. But some of those things in my life look like being snubbed maybe one too many times on the playground, so not trusting, you know, early relationships in the early days. all of my close friends going to a different school as we transitioned to being older, and I transitioned on my own. So there's, you know, some insecurities there around relationships. Maybe even being told no to many of my interests as a child and teenager, just that opportunity was cut off from me. So I just thought maybe I wasn't worth the effort of putting into those opportunities and things like that. The list can continue on and on. This isn't going to be an extensive list of things. This isn't just going to be my list. But those are just some examples of things I have come to terms with where I have done some healing, and it opened up potential in relationships and potential in my own learning about other people and potential for my own realization of what I like and what I like to do. So just to give those quick examples of those small examples did turn into great potential outlets of my own growth and desire and potential. Some of my more serious, like emotional and mental injuries, have also included like sexual trauma and abuse. So someday I will go into those, but at this point, I just want to demonstrate that there can be a very large variety in ways we are injured and need healing. And though they may be serious or simple, there are paths to more potential through healing those places of fear, hurt, shame, degradation, any of those things that we want to harden and protect. Okay, we want to re-soften those growth plates for potential and give ourselves the opportunity to grow. Now, I realize that's like the worst nightmare of your work reviews, right? The quote unquote opportunities for growth. But that's what potential is all about. It's about capturing that opportunity. This is also why therapy is so helpful for people to understand their mental and emotional limitations of their experiences, because as we heal ourselves from those experiences, we broaden the potential of what capacity we have to learn and grow in those areas. All right, so that's my pitch, is that these hard places in our lives, these hard little growth plates, that if we can re-soften a lot of them, it opens up that potential growth within us and allows for that healing. So now let's move on to our second item, which is where to start. Now, sometimes you can just take simple reactions and learn that, oh, I reacted that way because of this experience, which I feel safe in this current experience, so there's no need for me to react that way. It can happen that quickly. That's like a very simple way. But sometimes if you want to pick at that scab, if you want to find some ways of just starting the trajectory for healing, a really good place is just being alone with your thoughts for half a minute. So some people call that meditation. Some people call that prayer. Some people just call it sitting quietly for a minute. That starts your ability to feel your way through. Okay. Another way I have tracked down some of these healing experiences is noticing your extreme emotions. So noticing when you're feeling very sad, very angry, very hurt, very tired, especially when you're tired, some of those extreme things that come up kind of expose the vulnerabilities that you feel deep down inside. They're kind of it peels away that protective layer that your cognition forms in your brain, and it allows your emotion to really show through in its raw form. Starting to just wonder where those strong emotions stem from, why that reaction happened that way. Also, another idea is noticing interactions where you feel especially either left out or put down or not included. And that's one of those reflection times of, do you need new friends? Or are you just sensitive about social interactions that feel that way? Another option is if you feel insecure about an interaction in a task, in a new place, just ask yourself why. Have you had similar feelings before? Have you noticed them before? Do you feel like that often? Is there a trackable reason? All of these wonderings can get you started on that path to, okay, there's something here that I could probably heal. Also, just of note, if you are an anxious person, anxiety has things with feeling like you can't stop or feeling like if you do, that something terrible will happen. And is there a reason that keeps repeating in your brain as to why you cannot slow down? Maybe these options are your jam, maybe not. But I find that these methods pique my interest to why I feel certain ways. It's become actually a small habit in my life. But I assure you that it did not start that way. In my early motherhood days, which really means my early 20s, I felt like any little string I tried to pull would unravel me. So I avoided conflict. I avoided addressing the cause of situations. I avoided discomfort on many levels. And I've always been sort of a deep thinker and wanted to think my way to being better. And as an added bonus, I married somebody very well schooled in communication, in talking about his line of thinking, and in well schooled also in being in a partnership. And little by little, the ability to face small fears and find reasons why I felt ashamed of certain things, all of those small things began to be addressed, and I found my own ability to handle things expanding and creating new opportunities. So these paths, looking for healings can be, you know, something large or small. Actually, a lot of times they're really small. And those small little moments of healing actually bring sort of an expansive fan, if you will. If you imagine a fan, kind of the one point is small, and then as you open it up, it has all of this space that it can cover. It's those small potentials that can accrue. So I would recommend, if you're going to go down the path of pulling at that thread, recommend starting with something very small, like why you may not want to interact with one certain person. Maybe the person is nice, friendly, good conversationalist. Why do you want to avoid them? It may have little to do with them, but if it's something that they are not able to change, this is not a hurt you are feeling. I'm talking about avoiding making deeper relationships because you may not want to get attached, or you may not trust them, or you may have been hurt by a similar personality. Where are you pulling back and why? If it's a healthy boundary you are holding, I support that. But if it has to do with only your past experience, can you either create a boundary or can you heal in order to find out more about that potential friendship? All right. So there are places we don't like to dig because they hurt, or more likely we are afraid of what we will find. So now we're going to get to our number three, which is I'm going to tell you a story. I come from a long line of can-do women. I come from farm stock on one side, plus a bunch of city slickers who on both sides were all hardworking mothers developing a boatload of talents, all while baking bread every day and raising small herds, or large herds really, of children while serving and loving their communities all at the same time. I also come from two long lines of women who struggle with depression and anxiety. When I got married, I was following a near identical path of my mom. I was married at 19 and pregnant at 19 and a quarter. My mom's path was very similar, but that's really her own story. I married someone that cared about the happy outcome of my life, but my mom did not. Our trajectories are our own, and I am who I am because of the bravery, fortitude, faith, and strong will of my mom. Both of us have struggled to find our place of happiness and contentment. I personally have had a hard time with postpartum depression and anxiety. After my first child, I avoided conversations about my depression because I did not want it to be true. I did hold a lot of the stigmas in my brain about what it was like to be someone with depression. I let my anxiety rule because it was easier to escape than wondering why the mommy group made my heart race or made me, you know, sweat. I did not have any social support group to give language to that state of mind. And little by little, I began to see problems that I did not want to deal with begin to erode parts of my life that I didn't really want to go away, but I didn't want to deal with because I was afraid of what I would find. I was afraid that a path that I had heard about or a path that I had seen firsthand would become mine. Not that the path overall was a bad life, but it wasn't the path that I wanted to set intention for in my life. I began to see that if I did not make a change, I would inevitably set the same course on a path that I had already witnessed because I just knew what that would be like. But I still didn't change. It was too scary. It was too huge. It was too worrisome. So I clung to my status quo. There was too much effort in coming up with a plan. There was too much fear in choosing wrong. I needed help. So between my first and my second baby, my help showed up in my angel husband, who took it upon himself to research and ask questions of my care provider and come up with a solution plan that looked like some easy steps to try before trying harder steps. The simplest solution was trying an herbal supplement that was meant to boost mood. I tried it, and for me, that was a pivotal turning point. That does not mean it was a solve-all magical pill. It was simply a turning point in finding a path that was better, even if it was incrementally better. And it definitely was not a solve-all. It did not seem as easy as it sounds right now. And it did unleash a whole pantry load of other deep hurts that needed to be healed to broaden the potential of my relationships in my small family. But that one moment in time will stand as my moment of choosing to heal for the potential it would bring into my life. I have had a lot of setbacks, mess ups, self-doubts, moments of panic attack, fear. But without all of those, I would not know a lot about myself. I would have avoided that pain because I didn't have to feel it. Those moments of my life brought it to my attention. And to be frank, without having the guts to look at those hurtful experiences and say, what am I learning about myself with this? I would not be the person I'm proud to be today. So I want you to know that I know in each person there's potential to learn from your own healing. Your healing unlocks a power within you that is full of potential. Potential in ways you probably cannot foresee because all you can see is the hurt. There is power in finding healing for yourself from generational trauma, from small slights, from small setbacks, from small shameful moments that have turned molehills into mountains, and even from large family issues. So today is the day that I want you to know that healing brings potential that we don't understand until we get there. And I can't predict it, and I can't call it out for you, but I can tell you that it is absolutely worth it. So after all of that, we're going to sum up for today, because I feel like I have probably talked, I haven't looked at the clock, but I've probably talked for long enough today. So today we talked about the potential hidden away in healing that needs to be done. And then we can talk about ideas of where you can start. And then finally, I told you one of my healing for potential stories. I hope you take away the fact that there is hope and potential and exponentially more love and light coming for those who are willing to simply address where the pain is coming from. So take it from me. I know that you can expand your own horizon by finding those little blockages of pain for your own potential. It's worth it. It is worth it. Today, I'm going to just make a quick assignment that finding something that makes you happy, okay? I just want you to find some little thing that makes you happy for zero reasons, no justification necessary. Consider that your play assignment for the weekend. Have a good one. We'll